Chapter 2, A System of Systems. King Arthur, after chopping off both of the Black Knight's arms, "Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left." Black Knight, "Yes, I have. It's just a flesh wound." From the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail, EMI Films, 1975. One reason I use Centratel to illustrate the Work the System framework is that it is an easily understood primary system that is composed of subsystems. That is, Centratel is a closed system of systems. It provides simple, real-world cause and effect depictions of the principles. As I go through the details, you will be able to read between the lines and understand how the picture I paint is also applicable to all aspects of your life, not just your business work environment. It applies directly to your own most important system of systems, you. Centratel Overview. For 15 years, Centratel struggled for survival, always at the brink of disaster. Why did the system of systems begin to prosper in year 16? Yes, focused attention, terrific staff, targeted marketing, and a consistently high-quality product went a long way. But they were not the cause of the turnaround. Instead, these were the byproducts of the cause. The root cause of the turnaround was the discovery and application of the principle that management must focus on improving systems, not in performing the work or in repeatedly snuffing out brush fires. In short, quality products or services, a stable staff, and profitability are the result of the quality systems that produce them, not the reverse. Centratel is a high-tech national telephone answering service. As I write this, our gross yearly revenues are approaching $3 million. As a third-party outsourced business, a telephone answering service employs telephone service representatives, TSRs, who process incoming telephone calls from callers for various businesses we call clients. Essentially a private 911 service, any answering service's purpose is to take messages from the client's callers and then deliver those messages to the client. Clients include medical and veterinary clinics, funeral homes, property management companies, HVAC operations, high-tech firms, and the like. These are businesses that must provide 24/7, 365 human interaction to their customers or patients. Since these businesses can't cover their phones 24/7, they must employ an answering service to screen and process after-hours calls. A smaller group of clients uses an answering service during daytime hours when incoming phone traffic is more than they can handle, or if they don't have a physical office. At Centratel, up to 12 TSRs, depending on call traffic, sit at workstations and field one call after another, with the incoming calls arriving randomly from any one of approximately 1,000 accounts. Sometimes when traffic is heavy, calls come in like machine gun fire. One call will be from a nervous husband whose wife is on the way to the hospital to have a baby, the next call from the panicked owner of a horse that has colic, the next from an apartment tenant who has accidentally locked herself out of her apartment. You get the idea. Our TSRs take messages, record them in a database, and then deliver them in a variety of ways, including pager, cell phone, voicemail box, email, or fax. It is an unbelievably complex enterprise with multitudes of human and mechanical systems working simultaneously. Caller, client, and TSR communication is constant and nearly always time-sensitive. At Centratel, each of our accounts provides unique and exact instructions on how to handle callers and process messages. So within any answering service business, there is enormous opportunity for error. And without strict system protocol and superior staff, it's an understatement to say it's a breeding ground for chaos. The answering service industry stretches back to the first days of telephones. As they were then, answering services are now, nonstop operations. This all-the-time activity engenders another interesting challenge, odd working hours for TSRs, as they come and go from the office at all times of the day and night. It can be a tough way to earn a living, a major personal challenge for those who work the after-hours schedules. Our more senior TSRs have worked themselves into traditional daytime shifts, but new people must earn their stripes, enduring the tougher schedules until they can move into better slots that open due to staff attrition and company expansion. In any case, the pay and benefits are very good at Centratel, close to double industry averages. It's a fascinating industry, but it's in decline. In 1975, the total number of answering service businesses in the United States was more than 20,000, most of which were small mom-and-pop operations. Now, survivors are larger, but perhaps only 2,000 total. And as a percentage of the overall population, the number of answering service clients has also decreased considerably. Cell phones, pagers, voicemail, the internet, and telephone company switching options have cut deeply into the industry. Nevertheless, plenty of businesses still require a real live human being to process their incoming calls, and the market will not be disappearing anytime soon. More than two decades ago, I contemplated entering the answering service business for three reasons, and these reasons are still good general considerations for anyone going into business. First, it intrigued me that it was all about people and communication. Second, revenues would be passive. If managed properly, I would not have to be physically present in order to receive income. I was young and new to business, but it seemed to me that making money without having to show up to do the work would beat being a doctor, attorney, teacher, psychologist, working man, or any number of occupations where a specific individual is the centerpiece of the endeavor. Third, revenues would be recurring. Clients would continuously use our services and pay us over and over again. With clients paying monthly, generating new income would not be a full-time daily challenge. I reasoned that if the product was superior and our clients were happy, the money would constantly flow. So, on December 1, 1984, at the age of 35, I bought Girl Friday Telephone Answering Service, an ailing answering service in my hometown of Bend, Oregon. The total purchase price was $21,000. The down payment, $5,000. There were 7 employees, 140 clients, and 400 square feet of office space. Now the owner of a business, I changed the name of the company to reflect the changing times and, per my arrogant cockiness in those days, announced to anyone who would listen that we would someday be the highest quality telephone answering service in the United States. Despite my bravado, I had no idea how we would achieve such a goal. As I think back on those days and how I went about things, the words brash and clueless enter my mind. Events did not unfold as anticipated. The business was a disorganized nightmare, and my personal life, what there was of it, devolved into shambles. Within a year, I went through a divorce and then proceeded to do my best to bring up my 2 children as a single custodial parent. Although always on the brink of disaster, Centratel grew in volume, but profits never increased. It was an epic struggle, and as the first years passed, the best in the United States goal disappeared behind the cloud of chaos. For a decade and a half, I endured moment-to-moment turmoil, working long, long hours, often in excess of 100 hours a week, always just scratching by financially. I got sick from the pressure, but powered on anyway. The only thing that would stop me would be if I dropped over unconscious from stress and sheer fatigue. And after 15 years of relentless pressure, this became more than a possibility. Then, as previously mentioned, I had an unforeseen insight and began to apply the Work the System principles to my business and my personal life. An earth-moving event, the new vision deeply affected me, subtly yet profoundly changing the way I perceived the world. With this new outlook, all aspects of my life improved as the turbulence subsided. It became a different world at Centratel and at home. Just after my enlightenment, I brought a partner into the business, a good man, an acquaintance I had always respected, and I was no longer in it alone. Now I had a second set of professional eyes, and with his stock purchase, a financial boost. Coincidentally, my partner's name is Sam, too. The next few chapters describe the Odyssey in detail. As you read, think of parallels in your own life. Illustration: installing a preventative system. Sometimes we install a system and it doesn't do much. We achieve the desired effect by the mere existence of it. At Centratel, we knew that a few of our employees spent time cruising the net on company time. It was impossible to track these sleight-of-hand excursions, and the closest we could get to managing the problem was to walk around a corner and find a staff member covertly closing a non-Centratel window upon our approach. So, we installed special software that tracks and logs internet activity. The software solved the problem instantly and completely. We track everyone's activity, including who goes where and how much time is spent web surfing. Have we ever tracked down bad behavior with it? Yes. When we first installed the software without announcing what we had done, the usual suspects emerged. Did we say anything to them? No. It wasn't necessary because we knew that once we announced the installation and noted it in our employee handbook, the people who were abusing the system would change their behavior. Did they? Yes. Have we had subsequent abuses? No. We carefully check the logs each month, but there is never a problem. In our culture, other examples of preventative systems include drug testing, the police, and laws. The systems are intended to halt problems before they occur. Think of preventative systems in your personal life, the seatbelts in your car that don't just protect you from injury, but remind you that a defensive driving posture is paramount, the routine backups on your computer, the small courtesies you show to loved ones and strangers alike. As you go through your day, think of systems you can implement that will prevent problems down the line. What steps do you take to protect your child or your pet or your household belongings? What processes does the federal government maintain in order to keep conflicts from occurring?